Welcome to the Eagles Nest Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this recent message by Senior Pastor Tim Winter.
In the book of Acts, I want to share a subject with you, and the subject is heaven. The title that the Lord's been stirring in my heart since we have had to let go of some of our loved ones has been heaven. And so I want to put a bookmark in where we have been in 1 John chapter 1, and I'll come back to that as the Lord guides us. But I've found that the greatest peace in human life is following the leading of the Holy Spirit, and He's led me to talk about heaven here this morning. The title for what I have to share with you is Looking for a City. Looking for a City Still. In Acts chapter 1, I want to set the stage and then ask a few questions, and then I hope you'll allow me to borrow our current technology and go to a song that really touches my heart. I can't get it out of my ears or my spirit, and we'll take that in. It's 4 minutes and 13 seconds after I read this. But the former treatise, Acts chapter 1 and verse 1, the former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day which he was taken up. After that, he, Jesus, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself, Jesus showed himself alive after his passion, which was his death, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, Jesus commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. So when they were therefore come together, they asked of him, Jesus, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. When he had spoken these things, while they beheld, that's while they were looking or gazing at him, that would have been the subject of my other message, that until yesterday afternoon I found no peace in what I was studying, and I said, Lord, I got a lot of this memorized, I'm ready. And he says, well, you just sit on it, son, and do what I'm telling you to do. But it's about gazing his way, but they were doing that, and then he said, I want you to talk about heaven. I'll give you fresh manna, and everyone is going to get blessed, and everyone that hears the sound of your voice tomorrow will be blessed with not only the invitation, but the assurance that heaven is theirs forever and ever and ever. Will you give the Lord Jesus a hand clap of praise? I'm excited about this. I'm excited about this. So they're gazing steadfastly along with Jesus, and while they beheld him, Jesus was taken up, say taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they continued looking steadfastly, say, toward heaven, as Jesus went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, you men of Galilee, you men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, will you say this same Jesus? This message is about Jesus. It's Christ-centered. It's Christ in his present form here, and it's Christ wherever you're going. This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven, so shall come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. Then they returned unto Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. You know, it's down the Kidron Valley and up around the south of the Water Gate, and then the Dung Gate, and then you go up to the Zion Gate, and over there they went to the upper room. We've been in there a good number of times. Many of you have ministered there with me. And when they were come into an upper room where abode Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the brother of James, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. And the reason I'm reading this is because I want to honor the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus. They were there too with his brethren. So the sorrow over the loss of their loved compatriot Jesus, the Galilean, born in Bethlehem, grew up in Nazareth. The sorrow of that was soon to give way to the power of the Holy Spirit coming into people to make them witnesses. So while we sorrow over loss, sometimes we need a man or two men in white apparel, or maybe it's a woman or a lawyer turned missionary or a psalmist at the young age of however you keep yourself young. Sometimes we need someone to say, stop looking at what was and get ready for what is. Jesus was going up to heaven, but we're told that he will return as he went from heaven to the earth. And I'm going to leave that in the Lord's hands in the realm of the Father. As Jesus himself said, that's not even in my to-do list. That's God's job. Tim, you do your job. So I want to invite you to look to Jesus. And while we sorrow over loss, we absolutely triumph in the hope of the resurrection. And that's a good thing. Let me jump down to this scripture. I'm going to go to Hebrews chapter 11 and bear with me as, whoa, boy, I touched the wrong button there last week. David, open me a Bible to Hebrews 11 real quick. Is that? I'm learning these new tools, and when I apprenticed with my dad's dad, who's in heaven, you know, he lets you use the tool up to a point, then if you're going to do something wrong, he steps in and says, let me save the job and the day and the tool too. So I don't want to fool with that just right now. I don't want to get too far. So, by faith, Abraham, verse 8, when he was called to go out to a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. Hey, somebody, pastor, give me, I want the 1 year, 3 year, 5 year plan. Sometimes I've just learned to be quiet and say, I'll see if I can get on my knees and get that for you, because I'm just following day by day sometimes, and that's okay. Here's Abraham, the same thing. And though he went, he didn't know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land. And then, verse 11, dwelling in tents. We got some people living in trailers and tents and waiting for God's next season of blessing, and it's coming. Verse 11, by faith Abraham, though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become the father. What version am I reading here? NIV, NIV. Okay. Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become the father, considered him faithful who had the promise. And so from this one man, and him as good as dead, came the descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, in heaven, and countless in the sand, which is... My brain is engaging what I've memorized, and my eyes are seeing, you know, this. Okay. Holy Ghost, help me. So all these people, I need a King James version, or I'll just quote. There's my mom's Bible. That's a good one. All right. Yeah, well, that's his tool. I love the way this reads. And so thank you, Lord. I know it's on this computer, but it's a little farther down, and I don't want to slide too far. Last week I slid it right into the delete button, and Emily resurrected it. Okay, so these all, Hebrews 11. Sarah receives, therefore, listen to the contrast. It's like bing bong, bing bong. You can't not memorize this. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead. So many as the stars of the sky in multitude and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith. What? You can die in faith? I have 11 steps to heaven today. 11 steps I want to give you. I'll give you some clues. Any one of them will take you there. How many of you know there's one way into heaven? And Jesus claimed to be that way, and I'm here to speak his words. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by him. But there are many ways to come to Jesus. I want to talk to you about that so you can get to heaven today. In case you're not, don't speak out of turn. Just be a good listener and listen to what the Holy Spirit has for us. So therefore, sprang there even one, him as good as dead. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called for their God, for he has prepared for them a city. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, then it goes on to talk about his time with Isaac. Verse 14 says that they seek a country, and Abraham was looking for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. That's the object of my title, looking for a city still. Wendy, are we ready with a good piece of music literature? That's a... Andy, or somebody out there, turn the lights down just so you can catch this. This really ministers. It's 4 minutes. I want you to soak in the words of this great minstrel, Bono, as he sings about his relationship with the Lord. And I no one's judge. I affirm everyone's faith, no matter how simple or childlike it is. That's all it takes to get to heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Then I want to talk about what our Jesus said. Are we there?
I have come as my son. I have run.
I like a good piece of music, don't you? Boy, that's laced with the kingdom. I thank God for the minstrels, the prophets, and that song as when Emily's grandma stepped into glory. Of course, the message of that is there's more. There's more to life than what you have right now, and thank God for that. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, if this is all there is, we are of all men most miserable. Let's go party, eat, drink, because tomorrow it's over. But the message of the gospel and the hope of the resurrection is that it's not over when we breathe our last. And so I want to talk about that. The gift of eternal life is the assurance that there's heaven awaiting us after this life. John chapter 1, I said there's a subtitle. This I've spent a good many hours soaking in the scriptures over the last 43 years. And I really enjoy my time in John's gospel and John's writings. And so out of the overflow of that, the first step is that the Word is God, and God speaks a word. That Word is not only audible, but that Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, John 1:12. That Word is Jesus. So to make sure that you are on the right road to heaven, make sure that your pathway is following Jesus. That's number one. Number two, I would encourage you to take the water of your life out of the containers of religion in John 2 and give it to Jesus and let Him turn the waters of your life in the container of your religion. I don't care what it is. Mine was Catholic. I was an altar boy. I grew up in a very respectful religious home. We went to church on Sunday, but I did not know Jesus until I was 17. I knew about Him, and I was close at times, and that's not the same as having His fingerprints on my heart and the seed of His Word in my spirit. John 2, I gave Him my water of religion. I'm referring, of course, to the wedding in Cana where Jesus was instructed by His mother. And there the delegation of authority is enough to ignite the kingdom in your life. And I'm one of God's authority. And so I speak the kingdom into you the next season. I'm excited today. And I believe God has more for you. I can feel it overflowing in my son. In fact, I was almost going to have to, hey, I need some time to say what I got to say today. Give me some space. So give Him your six earthen jars where you wash your hands to be clean for the next religious observance that was sitting there at the wedding, and Jesus turned it into the best wine. And then in John chapter 3, I could say there's 11 steps. You need to believe to see, you need to believe to have, and then you need to believe to begin again. There are a number of things that you and I want to make sure about heaven that we're enjoying or making sure those boxes are checked. John chapter 3, Jesus said, I have told you of earthly things. He's speaking one-on-one to Nicodemus. I've told this religious, he's probably 30, 40 years old, I would guess. I've told you of earthly things and you're struggling. How are you going to believe if I tell you of heavenly things? So there is a realm in God, there is a realm in following Him where He wants to communicate the ethereal, the abstract, the heavenly, the spiritual to natural people. I'm one of them. And when I said yes to him, he turned my religious wash water, and he turned it into new wine, and I've been drinking that new wine ever since. And I want to encourage you to do the same thing, but there's a beginning. It's not, well, you know, I've built the rectory, or I was an altar boy, or I haven't done as bad. I'm not an axe murderer. No. This is about having a new beginning. And Jesus with Nicodemus made it clear. I'm telling you heavenly things, you are not getting it. Jesus said, no man's ascended to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Verse 15, John 3, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting, have eternal, have heavenly life. For God so loved, will you just enjoy saying it with me? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. For he that believeth not is condemned already, but whosoever believed is delivered and has believed in the only begotten Son of God. So there's the third step. You've got to believe. You've got to believe, and if you believe, that's good enough. It's good enough for Jesus, and it's good enough for me. Let's take the fourth step. Let's move out of John chapter 3, where Jesus was speaking to Nicodemus by night, and there's another way that you can come to him. I'd love for you to come to church every Sunday morning, but I realize that not everyone is going to or can. So it is important that we get the message of God's love out to everyone that we come in contact with. Samaria, Jesus was coming through Samaria. Samaria was not the church. It wasn't Galilee where I like to hang out. It wasn't Jerusalem where the epicenter of religious or the law of Moses was released. It was kind of like California. And I don't know if someone's watching. I love California. I've got friends out there. We ministered out there. Maybe I shouldn't say that. They were halfway there, and they were confused in some of their thinking. But Jacob's well was there. Jesus went to Jacob's well. I've been at Jacob's well. I remember sitting on the serpentine wall. It's still there. In 1978, as a young boy, and Freddie was our Muslim guide, and I remember sharing the Lord with him. He came and said, come here, I want to show you something. I love trees. He said, you know, there's actually a walnut tree growing over the serpentine wall at the well of Jacob and Sychar over there, and we went, stopped at the well. Back then you could, now you can't, because not everyone's getting along, and we try to make sure we stay out of areas of concern. But I was at the same well. Jesus was at that well. He was probably sitting on the same wall. He's looking over at the circle well, and I remember looking at it, and you remember the story. Jesus had an encounter with a woman that came out there, and he said Jesus this to her. He said, if you knew the gift of God, you would ask me to give you a drink instead of just letting me ask you to give you a drink, and I would give you living water. The woman said, you have nothing to draw with. The well's deep. Where do you have this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and his children and his cattle? Jesus said unto her, whoever drinks of this water shall thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be a well of springing water up into everlasting life. Say, water, springing to everlasting life. So number one, there's a word God, a God who is the word, a God who gets the word spoken and then lets the word become flesh, walks among us. Number two, there's your religious water in a container that if you give it to God, he'll turn it to new wine. Number three, it's through simple faith and believing. You can come by night. You can have your shadow of doubt. But if you make your way to the Lord and he'll say, if you believe in the Son that's offered to the world, you have everlasting life. John 4, the fourth step, he said, if you ask him to give you a drink and you take that drink, you have everlasting life. So I've already identified four ways you can come to Jesus. That's as simple as taking a drink. It's as simple as I believe. It's as simple as I can hear, I can read. It's as simple as, Lord, will you take this part of me that wants to be right with God in religion and make it the gift of eternal life, and he'll reveal his son Jesus to you. Say, yes. Yes. Thank you, Lord. And so the woman said, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come here to draw anymore. And you know the story. Jesus encountered a thirsty woman from a half-Jew, half-Samaritan. And he didn't let that stand in his way, and he blessed her. John 5, the fifth step, I'd like to say, that's down there at the by the sheep gate. That's the north east corner. We love to go down that. We park at the north and come around, walk around the Damascus corner there and come in the sheep gate, or a little farther is the lion's gate before you get to the east gate. And then we walk down that road and come into Pilate's Hall, which is also the Pool of Bethesda. And that's where Jesus saw a guy laying down there. Mike, you remember preaching your healing? I thought, I got to get Mike to release his love for Jesus at the Pool of Bethesda. Remember the five water pools? And gosh, I thought, oh my, he's preaching like an evangelist here. And Jesus was there at the sheep market. There was someone laying there. He'd been sick for 38 years, laying on a mat. So he's at least 38 years old, probably older, if he wasn't stricken from birth. Jesus said, he puts away all the excuses. No one comes. Tim's faster. Clark's louder. I can never get there on time. Jesus said, rise, take up your bed and walk. Forget about the right season. I'm here to tell you, this is your day. This is your season. Jesus is a Savior. He's a Savior, and he picked up his bed and walked, and you know the rest of that story. And then let's move to John 6. Let's take another step. In John chapter 6, Jesus is revealing himself as the Sega of life, the bread of life. There was Passover season, so the law of Moses said we're not eating bread for 7 days so we can prepare our life and act like we're getting all the sin out, and even though it's not getting out of the inside of me, we'll take it away from the cupboards and make it look like on the outside we're good on the inside. Now, you had to be really tracking to get with me on that. I'm not going to even give account for it. It's just true. And then the guy's following close to Jesus. He said, well, everyone's tired. Sit them down. There's 5,000. Feed them. Well, all we got is 5 loaves, 2 fishes. Sit down. Ate Amen. And they started giving it out. Well, there's 5,000 people there. Here's the message. There's a kernel. You can follow at a distance, and you could get the bread of life. You know, I love my front row sitters, but there's only 2 front rows. Or if you got a big fan, you know, maybe 3 or 4. God is so gracious that the guys in the back row had more than enough that day of Jesus giving them the bread of life. And he did all that to say this. He said, Moses didn't give you the bread in the wilderness. Your father gave you that bread, and oh, by the way, ego emi lechem. I am the bread hachaim of life. And so Jesus claimed to be the life giver, and he said here in John chapter 6, he said, as the Father hath sent me, even as the living bread, and I live by the Father, so he that eats me, he shall live by me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead, but he that eats this bread shall live forever. Truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believes on me has everlasting life. I am that bread of life. This is the bread that came down from heaven, that if any man shall eat thereof, he shall not die. So Jesus is taking another step. He's giving us another way to get to him. Even the people that are watching on Mevo Land are going to wake up later, just check the podcast or look at the title and say, I am the bread of life. Whoever believes, they too get to have eternal life. Will you say, thank you, Jesus, for your grace? So that's the 6th step. The 7th step, Jesus is at the Feast of Tabernacles. Now he's not up in Galilee, where those following at a distance around the Galilee Sea and all the businessmen and fishermen and farmers and growers of sycamore and pomegranates that would bring them down to Jerusalem and sell them. You remember, Jerusalem was very arid, very desert-like. So the produce came from the north. And there was 5,000 people out there, at least. The men were 5,000. They got the bread of life. And Jesus assured them, if you believe in what I'm doing here today, you have everlasting life. I wonder if I've made this too hard. It's not hard to know Jesus. So the 7th step, John chapter 7, Jesus was at Tabernacles, and he said, you're going to seek me, and you're not going to find me, for where I am, you cannot come. Now he's in the religious quadrant where the teachers that are holding their old ways are not going to budge. They're stubbornly holding on to their traditions. And Jesus was clashing with them. He said that when you win someone, they become twice the child of hell as you are. Whoa, preacher, don't say that. You're going to scare people away. I'm not trying to win people. I'm trying to present Jesus. And he is the giver of life. He's the forgiver of sins. And if someone won't admit they have sins, then it's very possible and quite probable that they'll never be forgiven for what they didn't admit they had. So we have to present a Savior. We have to present a life giver, a soul cleanser, and that's Jesus. John 7, he would dialogue with them, and he was in the tabernacles, which was the seven-day feast in October. Jesus was there, and he was trying to navigate through all that. Remember, he told his brothers, in fact, John 7, I think it's John 7, 5, his brothers didn't even believe. He said, you know what? You're not getting it. Just because your family doesn't mean they get it. You get it when Jesus opens your eyes and your heart to get it. And to have that, you need not weakness, but meekness. Yeah, the meek inherit the earth. The meek are granted salvation. Come back. There it is. Okay. And so Jesus is at the Feast of Tabernacles. And finally, when he could handle it no more, someone recently, I was in a businessman sharing with a businessman last week, sharing the gospel with him. And he's a believer too, but you know, kind of. It's good to be narrow, but it's also good to have an open mind because God loves everybody. Like my little granddaughter says, body, body. No, we love Ariel. And so he said, well, you know, I don't like church, but better not get loud. Better not get loud. I'm just listening. I'm not even going to invite him. And then this scripture came to my mind. I said, well, you remember in there in John 7, verse 37, where after this tabernacle and wrestling with all the Better not talk about tithing. That's Old Testament. Well, you never read the New Testament. It's got to start the old to get to the new. You know, whatever else people have problems with in their religious thinking. And I thought, well, when Jesus had problems with the people that didn't want it loud, it's John 7, 37. And on that last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and with a loud voice cried, if any man thirst, let him come unto me, and out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This I'm speaking of the Holy Ghost, which is not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. So say it's okay to give a shout. Yes. So you want to receive the Holy Spirit. Let's take the eighth step. Oh, my. Now it's after tabernacles. Now we're next spring and it's the Passover. Or no, this is in the winter, probably the last winter before Jesus would die in the spring. And in John chapter 8, you know the story. They brought a woman taken in an immoral act. They brought him right into the temple. There he is in the treasury. He's probably giving or watching or teaching on giving. If you want to proceed in your life, if you want to excel, if you want to succeed, learn how to give. And tithing isn't giving. Tithing is a simple act of little Judah, little Mitchell. You give them 10 pennies. Don't give them a dime. Give them 10 pennies. It's the equivalent, but you can teach them. The first one, say first one, goes to Jesus. Let them march it up here, put it in, so at a very young age, they can learn that one-tenth belongs to God. And they can activate that hedge of protection. Yeah, I'm not there on the Friday night football game when my son's out amongst all those that know nothing about God. And immorality is just what dad did. It's what grandpa did. It's what Uncle Joe did. It's what Aunt Susie did. And I guess it's what I'll do. Stop. I'm not in the darkness anymore. I've been translated into the kingdom of light of the dear Son of Jesus. And then the protectorate of the Lord comes in. Because someone's been obedient in a simple thing. Pray, give, and fast. So they bring him into the treasury, and you know what Jesus said? He released her with 12 powerful words. Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Woman, where are those thine accusers? It goes on, and then so the woman's gone. Now it comes to what was really at issue, their religious thinking. And Jesus said, I will go my way, and you will seek me, and you won't find me, and you'll die in your sins, because where I go, you cannot come. Whoa. But he's being truthful to break through religious callous thinking so that those that had a meek heart could come. And then he would say later on in that story that I am the light of the world. He that follows after me shall not walk in darkness but have the light of life. So we've got a word made flesh. We've got a water to wine. We've got a simple believing in the Son who's offered to the world that would die on a cross. Then John 4, we learn that he offers water, and we should ask him, Lord, may I have a drink of living water? And he grants it to you, and you have eternal life. John chapter 5 was pick up your bed and walk. John chapter 6, the bread of life. John chapter 7, drink of the water of the Holy Spirit. John chapter 8, follow Jesus. So following Jesus at your pace from him assures us that we won't walk in darkness but have the light of life. In John chapter 9, you remember the man born blind. It's a simple step. We're all born blind. We all need Jesus to spit on the ground, anoint our eyes so that we can see. And then we come seeing. And so seeing is important, seeing Jesus. It's an interesting thing that in John chapter 8 and all the way to John chapter 13, Jesus, this was the last season of his life, he was very clear. And he told people, he said, you'll seek me, but where I go, you cannot come. So he's letting mankind know that you just can't get up and decide to go to heaven. God has to open the heart. God has to initiate. God has to draw. No man can come to the Father but the Son. No man can come to the Son except the Father draw him. And God draws through the operation of his Holy Spirit. And so that was what Jesus was doing. And I want to just say a little rhetorical question. Are you in the audience of these words? There are many that can't go to heaven. I'm talking about heaven. Heaven's a real place, and there's a real way to get there. It's through Jesus, but there was people that came through their pathway to Jesus. Those are earth-shadowing words. You'll die in your sins. Where I'm going, you can't come. Whoa, that's not a good thing to say at a memorial service. I'm so glad to be presiding over or presenting a celebration of a life lived for Christ. But not every life is lived that way. Nicodemus was on the outside trying to get in. Peter felt on the outside after he denied and cursed Jesus and lied that said he didn't know him. He did know him, but he didn't know how to navigate the courage needed to present his relationship with Jesus. Judas was at the Last Supper and did know Jesus and denied him for 30 pieces of silver and perished hanging on a tree, while later, 24 hours later, Jesus would bring eternal life dying, hanging on a tree. The contrast of the different approaches coming to Jesus is just intriguing. I love how God allows you to find him in your way. I want to invite you to get involved in releasing the power of heaven that lives on the inside of you. John chapter 12, Jesus would begin to... I went to John chapter 10, Jesus at that same location, we talk about being the shepherd that speaks to the sheep, calls them by name, and leads them in and out to find pasture. And then John chapter 11, the last step, this is huge. Oh, Lord, communicate this by the power of the Holy Spirit, but I believe this is true. Jesus said in John chapter 11, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. So there's the hope of the resurrection. And he that, I am the resurrection and the life, and he that believes in me and lives shall never die. And to illustrate that, roll the stone away. Father, I know that you hear me. Nevertheless, not for my sake, but for the sake of these that are here, will you honor the words that I am about to speak? And a voice came from heaven. A voice came from him. This is my beloved son. Hear him. And Jesus, oh, by the way, that voice didn't come from me because I already know my purpose. That came for you so that you have double assurance of what you're about to see. Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus comes forth from the grave, bound hand and foot, dead 4 days. Here's the kernel that I want to propose to you and I suggest that you just let this grow in your spirit. There's a realm of coming to God that has nothing to do with the person who's going to come. It's in the realm of intercession. It's in the realm of being a mediatorial, authoritative believer that knows I have power with God through the power of the Holy Spirit. When he's crying, it's not the five voices. I've trained all of our singers here to understand the five realms of the human voice. Then there's the sixth and the seventh. And that's only in the realm of the Spirit. And the realm of the seventh is when you're in intercession and you know God is speaking, not to you, but through you as God. Jesus said in John, Psalm 86, you are God's. What was he saying? You represent me on the earth. Be one. Be a voice. Pull someone out of the fires of hell into the light of life. You can do that. And Jesus brings forth Lazarus back to life because of two people. Who were they? Mary represented the Pentecostal, you know, at your feet, can't get enough of worship. And Martha represented, well, let's clean the building, let's paint the walls, let's clean the dishes, let's make it. Jesus used both, and both got him to do what only he could do, is pull someone out of death into life. Let's thank God for the power of the resurrection. Thank you, Jesus. That's the 11th step. I believe that's not only in the realm of the spirit, but it's also in the realm of the natural. Jesus wants to bring people into the realm of heaven. There's many illustrations that we could use in the Word, but I wanted to just point out and then now contrast. Jesus was clear in the last months of his life that where he was going, people couldn't follow. And then when he ascended up to heaven, he said, don't be afraid, go do what you're supposed to do, live your life, live it for Jesus, be filled with the Spirit, and heaven will come to you. Jesus will come out of heaven. Now let me jump down to Revelation chapter 20. I saw an angel come down from heaven, John writing. He sees this. I saw an angel come down from heaven having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. John says in verse 4, I saw thrones and they that sat upon them. Judgment was given to them, and I saw the souls of men that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither taken his image or received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed is he and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. On them the second death has no power. They shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign for 1,000 years. John says in verse 11, I saw a great white throne and him that sat upon it, upon whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. There was no place found. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. The books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things written in the books, according to their works. The sea gave up the dead, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. There was no more sea. I saw the holy city coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride for her husband. And I heard a great voice saying, behold, God's dwelling is with men. He'll be with them. He'll be their God. They'll be his people. God will wipe away all tears from their eyes. There'll be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said, write, for these words are faithful and true. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. Would you stand to your feet? We have come into a place where believers gather and we worship the Lord and call upon his name. Sometimes we take it for granted, or we overlook how powerful the gift of eternal life is. Jesus assured these people through those 11 different chapters that salvation is a step away, a drink away, a piece of bread away, a moment of believing away, a calling on the Lord, a asking to see, and a desire to walk, to be mobile. We heard about the message of healing in our midst today. Lord, I just bring all of these human conditions before you in the microcosm of this moment, and I ask that you would fill this place so much so with eternal life that we would have that John 7:37 moment, be filled with the Holy Spirit, who's the eternal Spirit, and that eternal life would just move through our being. In Jesus' name, I speak to all of the gatherings, the several memorials that will be a part of here in the next couple of days. And I speak the power of the hope of the resurrection. That death is merely a door frame that we're not even looking at, because we're looking at what's on the other side of the door frame, the gift of eternal life in the person of Jesus, the Word who was made flesh. Whatever sense realm touched you today, or maybe several, will you just take that from Jesus? Say, Jesus, I'm making you that part of my life. I'm drinking the drink. I'm giving you my water firkins. Change it to a new experience, a new wine. You've saved the best of my life for right now, moving forward. The old things are passed away. Behold, all things are new. I thank you for the power of the gospel, which is Jesus Christ came to save sinners, and the hope of the resurrection comes to all who believe. We honor the memory of those that have gone on before, but in the meantime, there's work to be done presenting the Lord Jesus Christ. He said in John 13 on the night that he would be betrayed, he said, "A new commandment I give unto you, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another even as I have loved you. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have this kind of love for one another." Thank you that love is inside of us and it's bringing forth fruit in Jesus' name. Now, Holy Spirit, will you comfort those that have experienced loss with the assurance of a reunion on the other side? Thank you, Jesus. Will you flood this place with peace that's above human reasoning and understanding? And now, Lord, before we dismiss, will you give us our assignment? Who this week needs what I have? A drink, a piece of bread, an encouraging word, a listening ear, a hand on their shoulder, or a shepherd's guide to a new gathering of people. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the gift of heaven, Lord. We're still looking for that city that has the foundations that you built, as you are the builder and maker and the author of eternal salvation. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. You just give the Lord a free will thank offering. Thank you for saving us, Jesus. Amen. Amen, 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 amen. Thank you, God. Amen. Amen. Well, God bless you. I dismiss you. Would you greet your neighbors around you and just bless them with the blessings of the Lord? Amen. God bless you.
Thanks for listening to a recent message by Senior Pastor Tim Winter. Please visit eaglesnestchurch.net for more information.